Well, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that we have someone that we can sing about and know is true and rest our hope and our everything upon Him. Well, praise the Lord. I've had several scriptures, you know, go through my mind at various times this week. And I guess as a preliminary thought, we are well aware, I think, that we live in a scary, uncertain world, and people react to it in all kinds of different ways. The Lord has allowed us to live where we live and when we live. We've talked about that many times. But I'll tell you, what we understand and what we believe, the convictions that hold our hearts together, have everything to do with how we navigate all of this. And my mind went to, from several scriptures, but one it settled on was one that we know very well, and I feel like it's a good time to take a fresh look at Psalm 23. Now, David was a young man who grew up in a difficult time. You talk about a crazy world. You know, there's a certain amount of order even in our crazy world, but at the time he lived in, all you had was, every little kingdom, every little city was almost like a criminal gang. They lived to conquer one another, to fight one another. He even mentions in one place in the scriptures that, in the spring when kings go to war, it's like that's what you do this time of year. Everybody goes to war and sees who can whip the other one and who can win the battle and who can take all the spoils and bring home slaves. And it was a rough time. You think about battles that we have today and how people react to them. And yet they had battles back in those days when the casualties numbered in the hundreds of thousands. Literally. I mean, it was a crazy time. And this is the era, this is the time in which David grew up. And, we better have something on the inside if we're going to stand in this world. Amen. We better have a heart-level conviction that defines how we see ourselves. It defines how we see the world, where our hope lies. Because, we got people that put their trust in their riches. They put their trust in the power they can achieve. They put their trust in their own ability. But we find a young man named David who didn't do any of those things, did he? It wasn't about how smart, how good he was and how righteous even he was, or any of those things. It had nothing to do with any of that. But it had to do with one simple thing, and it's the first five words. I remember we emphasized that one time, and I want to go beyond that. But he begins the psalm with a very simple statement of fact: "The Lord is my shepherd." Boy, if you get that down in your heart and you know what it means and it's real, man, it doesn't, in one sense, it doesn't matter what else happens. Anybody here need that? Because I don't care who you are, there's things that are fearful in this world. And we need to have an anchor, like what the writer of the Hebrews, we often refer to that, the passage where he talks about the hope that we have, and that is a confident expectation based upon God's revelation about things that haven't happened yet, a hope, an expectation. That hope is what? What does he describe that? What does he liken that hope to in that passage? It's an anchor, isn't it? Now, a ship needs an anchor in certain circumstances. When the storm is raging, you better have something that can hold on to something that doesn't move. And boy, I need something. How about you? The further we go, we better have an anchor. Well, David had one. And of course, we know that it's interesting that he grew up as a shepherd. He was the youngest of a number of sons, and he got the job of that probably nobody else wanted, of being out there with his father's sheep. And of course, that was long hours. But what it did for him was to reveal something. God used that. You know, God can use everything in our lives to teach us if we'll listen, if we'll be tuned in. There's not a thing that happens in your life or mine that is not a teachable moment. You know the expression. Everything is a teachable moment if we're willing to be taught. I need to be taught, don't you? And the further along that I go, the more I need that. But the Lord is my shepherd. He knew what that meant. He knew the relationship between a shepherd and sheep. And yet here he sees himself not as the shepherd, the strong one who's doing the job, but as one who needs a shepherd, one who needs somebody to watch over him. And so all of this that the Lord was teaching him through his relationship with literal sheep and having to provide for them, having to protect them, it became something where the Lord revealed to David, this is the relationship that I desire with you. Okay? Now, you know, we've emphasized the individual words, the Lord. There's only one. You know, David lived in a time when every nation, as we've said many times, had its gods. And I wonder personally if a lot of that conflict and that warfare was really a conflict between the gods that were inspiring them. You know, I'm the best. And so I'm going to mount an offensive and we're going to beat you this time. I don't know, but whatever it was, they had their gods, but David knew there was only one. I don't just have one God who's among many. I have the Lord. There is none other. Thank God. We can look to him and realize if we're serving him, we serve the one who is on a throne. There is none other. Praise God. Is he the one? Is he the anchor of your soul this moment? Of course, I'm jumping ahead of myself there, but the Lord. And you have this sense of a lordship as somebody who is in charge. We're living in an era where God has unfolded a lot of his purposes that David didn't know, but was able to sort of look forward to as God gave him a certain amount of vision and expectation. But we live with one who holds, as we've said recently, the keys of death and hell. He sits on a throne. All authority has been given into his hand. Folks, that's the one that I want to serve. That's the one that I want to recognize. And I don't want to just recognize it in this impersonal sense like, okay, I agree that he's the Lord. It has to come down to something more personal and more present, doesn't it? So he doesn't just say, the Lord. He says, the Lord. What's the next word? Is. You know, there's several ways to look at that, but one of them is what Carl just said, the present tense. We are really bad to live in the past or live in the future. We're living afraid of what might be. We're living with a baggage of things that have happened and we haven't really let go of them. And yet here is David saying, the Lord is my shepherd. There is that present tense. How many of you know that we've only got the present? That's all you've got. That's all I've got. There's not one of us can go back and fix the past and redo it. We haven't got a time machine. We can't do that. Nor can we reach into the future and I'm going to fix that and everything's going to be okay. We can't do any of that. We occupy a very, very dependent position. But here is the awesome thing is that he is my shepherd right now. There is never a moment, not the single moment in the life of one who serves the Lord from their heart where he is not present. You remember Psalm 46 we've used so many times. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And that word there is relentlessly. There's a sense of urgency on his part that I'm there. I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like. I'm there. And you and I, what does that make a difference if we can learn to reckon on his presence and know that he meant what he said? I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. Boy, we know that there are many times when it doesn't feel that way, doesn't look that way. But is that not the anchor that I need? I mean, if I'm doubting this, if I'm doubting what he's saying right there, that leaves me in a very vulnerable place. I'm going to start listening to the wrong voice. I'm going to start feeling sorry for myself. Of course, I know I'm not the only one that ever experiences that emotion. And a whole lot of others that are very, very natural to all of us. But I'll tell you, in my darkest, weakest moment and yours, He is. He is. He's right there. He is absolutely holding my hand. You think of the sheep that David had to deal with. And I'm sure they were all kinds. Some of them were prone to wander. But nonetheless, there was that sense that David felt, the sense of responsibility. He knew what that meant. He knew that he was there responsible for those sheep. And those sheep may have had their attention everywhere in the world, but David was still watching. You know, I got somebody like that. You know, you do. The one who spoke the universe in existence. Let that sink in. The one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The one who has planned everything from the beginning. You read the prophecies in Isaiah. You will see that over and over again, where the Lord, through the prophet, will sort of mock these gods. All right, you tell me what's going to happen. You explain it to me. He says, "I'm the one who's planned everything from the foundation of the world. I foresee everything. I know everything. That's the one in whose hand I want to be. I'm not in the hands of this world. Whatever happens, whatever he allows to happen, he is. He is." And yet it doesn't stop there. The Lord is what? What's the next word? My shepherd. What does that tell us? It's got to be personal. This is not just a theological principle. Oh yeah, the Lord is good. He's over all and all this vague things. There has to be that sense that the one who created the universe is intimately connected to me. He knows where I'm at. He knows everything about me, and he loves me anyway. He's my shepherd. I can look to him. I have every right to look to him. Praise God. Praise God. Where are you at today? What's going on? What's the enemy putting in your head? He's trying all kinds of things with me. Anybody here in that same boat? Yeah. He is going to constantly try to fill our minds with his lies when God wants us to have this bedrock conviction in here. And we talked about faith being the victory. This is the basis of faith. I've got to have a relationship with God. And if I do, I have what I need. I'm jumping ahead here, but the Lord is my shepherd. He's just not somebody else's shepherd. Oh, yeah, I see them down there. They're special, but poor me. Poor me. I'm just so bad, or I'm so weak. He doesn't care about me. Look what just happened. David could have said that a lot of times, didn't he? Couldn't he? I mean, you remember right toward the end of his running from Saul, and he was over in having to hide out with the Philistines, and they wouldn't even let him go to battle. And he went back, and everything was gone, and his own people wanted to stone him. But what did he do? He encouraged himself. Now, how in the world where would you find encouragement in a situation like that? You're not going to find it anywhere down here. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he went to God. He got the wisdom and direction that he needed, and God steered him right out of that. And instead of it turning out to be a defeat, it became a glorious victory. I'll tell you, if we will learn how to acknowledge the Lord in every circumstance, the Lord is, present tense, my shepherd. And David knew what that meant. Now, I think we've said many times, and we're aware of the fact that sheep are not very smart animals. And here's where I think a lot of people fall down. They can get religious, but thinking of myself as a weak, ignorant, some often foolish sheep needing a shepherd to watch over me because I'm not smart enough to watch over myself and I can't provide for myself. That runs absolutely contrary to man's spirit of pride and self-reliance. But here was David, who was able to watch and deal over years with these sheep. He knew what it meant to be a sheep and need a shepherd. And here he is, instead of Look at me and how strong I am and how smart I am. He's saying, I'm nothing but a sheep. And not only that, I'm not resenting that. I am thankful. Because the one that I serve is the Lord of all the universe. And I'm willing to take my place of utter dependence upon him. That's humbling, but it's a blessing. My God, here we are talking about a scary world, but I'm not alone. The one who made this world, the one who is using it for the unfolding of his purpose, he's in charge, and he's my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's mine. I am looking to him this moment. I'm trusting in his word, trusting in his promise. He's my shepherd. But think about what he's conveying here. You think the Lord, David had to talk the Lord into this? Lord, I know you got more important things to do than pay attention to little old me, but would you please be my shepherd? This is the heart of God that's revealed here. This is God's heart toward you this morning and me. I long to lead you. I long to be with you in this crazy, broken world. I don't want you to run around being afraid or being angry or being whatever it is that comes out of your nature. I love you. I care about you. You know what it means to have a shepherd, have a true heart towards the sheep. But here I am. I want to be your shepherd. Think about Jesus, the great shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Praise God. I didn't even look up John 10, but you can read what he says there. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine, and I give them eternal life. No one can pluck them out of my hand. The Father who sent me is greater than I, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. That's the heart. That's the spirit behind it. It's someone who is so great that he can rule the universe, and yet he cares and knows how many hairs you got on your head right now. And he cares about the things that you're experiencing right now. Not only that, he cares, he's using them for his purposes. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, in this particular translation, it says, I lack nothing. That's pretty simple, straightforward language. How many of you feel like, oh, if only I had this, if I had that, I just don't have enough courage, I don't have enough this or that? I don't either. You know, I don't have what it takes to live in this world and do anything. And people who think they do are living in illusion. Because what's it going to profit when they gain the whole world and lose their soul? Folks, God has put us in a dependent position. Not because he's mad at us, but because he loves us and longs to share his nature, his love with every one of his sheep. You think about the one who's willing to give his, not just to be kind to us, but to give his life for us. That's a shepherd I can trust. That's a shepherd I can look to with every issue of my life. But again, the thing David realized, if the Lord is my shepherd, I know what it's like to take care of sheep. I watch out for them every day. I know they need to eat certain things. I know they need fresh water. I know that I've got to search that out and lead them and take them to the place where they have exactly what they need. And I know if a predator comes and wants to eat them, I know what to do about that too. I care about every detail that affects them. I don't want them to go around thinking, oh my God, I don't have something I need. Is there a little bit of a lesson in that? How many of you go through life and think, oh, I don't have what I need? The reality is, if we are in Christ and we've given our lives to him and we're trusting in him, we have everything we need. Everything we need. Now, that doesn't mean we always lay hold of it. But do you think, honestly, that there is anything that you and I need to stand there in white one day, having stood up to everything the devil is allowed to throw at us, do you think there's a single one that's going to get there and I can't even remember the thought I started with. But do you think we're going to get there and find out we didn't have something we needed, or God doesn't really care? God hasn't planned this thing out? Are we ever going to have a time when God has to have an emergency meeting in heaven? Because something has happened that he didn't figure was going to happen. He wasn't prepared for it. Is there some need that's going to come up in your heart and your life that he did not anticipate and provide for completely? Is there? Boy, do we act like that, though, don't we? Wouldn't it be good to have this confession of David as the anchor of our souls, have it so embedded in our thinking? This is our worldview. This is how we see everything. We look through, I mean, this is like a pair of glasses. We see everything about the world and about ourselves through this lens. I've got somebody, the Lord of the universe. He cares about me. He wants a relationship with somebody like me. And not only does he want a relationship, but this relationship involves him giving me everything I need. You know, the scripture was quoted in that we often hear this morning in our men's meeting about, you know, from Romans 8, about how he that gave up his own son for us, how will he not along with him also do what? Give us what? All things. How many things? That's a very comprehensive word, isn't it? There's nothing he has left out that I need. Praise God. Now, I don't maybe have everything sitting in me right now like I can say, oh yeah, bring that on. I can handle this or I can handle that. No. You know, talk about the scary things that could happen in this world. We've often referred to to what Corrie ten Boom went through. And I have all ideas. I'm confident that God allowed her to experience many things and talk about them so that she could share her testimony with us. But what she went through, what she was afraid of as the Nazis began to take over and thinking, I can't handle this, I can't handle that. Well, I can't either. But her father reminded her of times when she was a little girl and they took a train trip and he said, when do I give you the ticket? Well, you remember what the answer was? When it's time to get on the train? Do you know that's the life, that's how the Lord wants us to live with him? Not, I mean, it's this present tense, this sense of all I can live in is the present. But he wants me in whatever the present presents to me, whatever circumstances are involved in that present, I have every right to look to him as my shepherd, as my provider, knowing that he, along with whatever circumstance he allows in my life, he will give me the ticket that I need to ride that train. Do you believe that? Praise God. So I can commit all the train trips in the world to him and just walk with him now because I have what I need, but I also have the confidence that when I need something else, he'll give it to me. I mean, you think of that scripture we've used so many times in 1 Corinthians 10 about no temptation or testing has seized you, has come upon you. This is not something we asked for, it just happened. And it's a challenge to our faith. Nothing has seized us but what is common to man. And then there's that awesome word, but. And what is it that comes against that? But God is faithful. All right, how does that faithfulness express itself? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but will with the temptation also give you a way of escape. that you may, and the way of escape is that you may be able to bear it. In other words, there's grace. We have a throne where we can go, the very throne of the universe. Oh, how much God, truth has God unlocked to us. David saw in a measure, and he had a relationship with God that was real, but look what God has provided for us. We have the record of his Son. We have his presence. We have the victory of the cross. We can see how he has laid hold of everything you and I could ever need for not a partial salvation, but a perfect one. Praise God, we have one who's gone to heaven for us, who's interceding. We have one who prays when we're weak and when sometimes we're not even able to pray for ourselves, and there he is. Father, help that one. They're in a weak place right now. They need you. They need strength. Please encourage them. Send that word of encouragement. You know, we had testimonies this morning of how the Lord, in a dark time with the devil just assaulting the mind, yet God can penetrate with that word. That word can dispel, his light can dispel that darkness. Folks, I thank God that I thank God if I can just believe it when I need it, in that present tense, that I lack nothing. Wouldn't that be a good conviction to live with? Have you ever been in a place where you didn't have what you needed, and God just messed up and forgot all about you? Sometimes he can allow it to feel that way, but we have everything we need if we will look to him from the depths of our heart. Folks, I'm trusting that everybody here has this relationship with God and just needs to grow in it. I need to grow. I guarantee you. I have to do some growing this morning. You think it's easy to stand up here and do this? We need the Lord, folks. Every single one of us needs the Lord. But oh, what an awesome truth it is that the Lord is right now my personal shepherd. He's watching over me. And because of that, I lack nothing. I don't know what a title would be. We have everything we need. That would be a long version of it, or we lack nothing. But I praise God. I pray that God will make this real. So that while we can sit here and maybe there's nothing immediate happening right now, that we can go through this week and realize everything that happens that we face, that we feel is a difficult thing, when that now happens, and that's what's happening in that now, we can say, hey, I got what I need. Lord, didn't the scripture we've often used, again, about the fight of faith. Here's Paul knowing what it takes to serve God in this broken world, and he says to Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. What does that entail? What follows that expression? Somebody remember the scripture? Lay hold. There's something that I have put there for you. It's there. You've got what you need. You've got all the money in the bank you could ever need in this kingdom. The spiritual bank. You know, understand what I'm talking about. There are untold riches that Paul has talked about. Everything that God has, he knows we'll ever need is there. And it belongs to his children. Praise God. So, okay, he goes through and he talks a little bit about what this entails. And the first part, we can all say, oh, yeah, that sounds great. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Oh, bring it on, Lord. That sounds idyllic. Oh, sounds like a vacation. Well, I thank God that that's true, and there are times when that's exactly how it is. God just refreshes us and quiets us. We're not striving. We're not in the middle of a battle, but we can, oh, I just need something. I need you to refresh me, Lord. I need you to help me. And you know what I need. You know exactly what I need. I thank God that that's his heart to give us all of that. But you know, the Lord knows that if that's all he does, we're going to get awful spoiled. And there's a lot of stuff that he wants to fix in us and change in us. He can't change when everything is just idyllic and wonderful. But here he says he guides me along the right paths. How many of you want to be guided? How many of you believe there is a path that God has, as we've said before, laid out before you? Do you believe God has made a plan for your life? Do you want that plan? Are you willing to seek Him about that plan? That's pretty basic to the Lord being my shepherd. I can't really honestly understand Him as my shepherd and say, okay, Lord, see you later. I want to do that. I've got to be willing to let Him lead. And I've got to be willing to let Him know that I need Him. Again, I think we've recently used the verse where He said, your ears will hear a voice behind you, or a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. How many of you believe the shepherd wants to lead you? I believe He does. I believe He can lead us in ways that are right. You know, the thing that was said this morning was how many situations present us with challenges and choices, I guess is the word. And my choice could easily be, if I follow my old nature, I'm going to go this way. Well, is that the right path? Is it the right path for me to react according to my old nature and say, this is the way I'm going to go, and this is how I'm going to react to this situation? No. God is going to put us in a place where He's going to say, this is the right path. It could involve forgiveness. That was emphasized in our meeting this morning. It could involve a lot of things where we're willing to humble ourselves and say, all right, Lord, You're the shepherd. You know. I'm going to humble myself under Your hand. You're the one who not only leads me, but You're going to provide what I need. Because I need You, Lord. I don't have what it takes. But you see where David is coming from in this guiding principle of his life. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Here's this part. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, literally. Obviously, life is not all about pleasant pastures and cool streams, is it? There are times when His path... Now, put that together with the fact that He leads me. And yet here David finds himself in the darkest valley. What do you draw from that? What conclusion do you draw from that? The Lord led him there. The Lord had a purpose in taking David into a very dark, difficult place, many times, of course. God had a reason. God brought him to that. But what did he learn from that? And how did he react to that? How did he react to the prospect of it? Obviously, he's talking about that even though that happens. David had such a conviction that he was able to say, I will fear no evil. Now, does that mean David never experienced fear? Of course not. We all do. But there comes a point where fear is a choice. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care what it is. It could be 1,000 other things that come from this old nature. But it comes to a point where that becomes a choice. David says, I recognize I could be in that situation. He could lead me into that situation. How am I going to handle that? And here's how I'm going to handle it. I will. I'm going to make a choice. Now, how could he make that choice? How was this just bravado? Was this strong character and all these natural qualities? No, this goes right back to the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You see where that bedrock conviction allows people to go through those times and say, I will fear no evil. Because we know what the devil's going to try to do. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Every single one of us fights that battle. But wouldn't it be good to be able to say, I will. Now, how could he make that kind of a choice? Say, yeah, I will. How could he make that choice without understanding that God was going to give him what he needed in order to be able to make that choice? Do you see the dependence that is implied in everything that he's writing here? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Based upon that, I will not fear. I will fear no evil. Why? Again, for You are with me. Praise God. I'll tell you what, do you need the Lord with you in those times? I do. Has He promised? Does He want us to learn how to lean upon Him and to hold that bedrock conviction and act accordingly during those times? You know, sadly, from our point of view, how do we have to learn that? How do we learn such things? Experience. And like I said this morning, it would be so nice if we could learn all this in seminars and just have it all down. But there's only one way that I can learn about God's faithfulness in difficult times, is to go through difficult times and trust Him and experience His faithfulness. We had a message a while back about from test to testimony. How do you get a testimony? Say, I've been there. God took me through a dark valley. He didn't allow me to see any hope, and the devil was just filling my head with all kinds of nonsense, all kinds of stuff. But somehow, there was a measure of faith that He had put in here that He enabled me to pull on and to lean on and to begin to express. And I called out to Him, and I looked to Him, and I remembered that He is my Savior. He is my shepherd. And I looked to Him, and I called on Him. He gave me the strength. He didn't just make it all go away, but I found out that I wasn't alone. That right in that dark time, He was right there. He never let go of my hand. He walked with me through it. And of course, you all know that picture. Was it a vision or something that somebody had when they saw their life and they saw the two sets of footprints in the sand? And then it came a time in that person's life when everything looked bad. Everything looked difficult. And there was only one set of footprints. And he said, Lord, I don't understand. That was the time I needed you most. What's going on? Why was I alone? And he says, you weren't alone. There's only one set of footprints because I was carrying you. You think about the heart of this shepherd. I mean, you got all kinds of shepherds, so would-be shepherds in this world. You think about this shepherd. We already talked about Jesus saying He was a good shepherd. He gave His life for the sheep. But the prophecy in Isaiah, I'm not going to look it up, and I probably won't remember it all perfectly. But He shall feed His flock. How? Like a shepherd. He's going to carry the lambs in His arms. Do you feel weak and small and unimportant? You might be a child. And you're wondering, how in the world does He care about me? If He needs to do it, He's going to carry you in His arms. He's going to gently lead those that are with young. You sense the heart of what God wants to communicate to His people. He wants everyone here to know how He thinks about you and how much He cares about you and how much He wants to bury this conviction in your heart today so that you will always know, regardless of what happens, He's there. He's in the middle of it with you. There's a reason He led you that way. And He did it so He could show His power and His glory in your heart and your life. And you are never without something that you need because He will always give you what you need in the circumstance. Praise God. This is not real deep theology, but I mean, this is life, folks. Do you see why David was a man after God's own heart and how much the Lord was able to express Himself through David? You see it in his other Psalms, but what a picture of a worldview, if you will, if you want to put it that way. This is the way David saw life. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will, that's a choice. I will fear no evil. That doesn't mean he didn't fear or feel fear. Everybody does that. The question is not whether we feel fear. The question is, what do we do about it? I will not yield to that. I will still claim that God is faithful, that He is with me, His word is still true. I'm going to rely on Him. And not only that, I'm going to rely on Him for the ability to rely on Him. I mean, think about that. I have everything I need, but it all comes from Him. Every bit of it. Are you willing to take that place and realize how dependent you are on Him? The more I go, the more I say, yes, Lord. You've shown me so many ways in my life how desperately I need You. At times I thought I was smart enough, or I was strong enough, or I was this, I was that, and You had to show me that I wasn't. But in that, You showed me how faithful You are. You showed me that I'm never without the hope of all that You have promised. Can you sense in David's words what he's saying these same things? Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, obviously, in order for that to be true, you've got to have some enemies around that are threatening you. So again, God is taking David into a place that from every earthly point of view looks like a bad place to be. It looks like a place of danger, and yet God was giving him a provision for that situation. That sound like something we need? To be able to see the Lord, not just in this theoretical way, but I mean to see Him right in that particular moment. Say, Lord, I need some food here. And You've promised to lay that table before me. Again, that's that situation where you're in darkness, but there's light that's coming through, and God is feeding your soul with something that's true. Folks, I want to be one of those that just believes His word in the face of whatever comes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. But here's the conviction about this. He's talking, first of all the circumstances of life. Some of them are pleasant, some of them are not, but God's always with me. I always have what I need. So where are we going with all this? All right? Surely, that's an awesome word to begin that verse 6 with, isn't it? Surely, Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Even when you can't see it or feel it. Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. Boy, that's some pretty strong, clear statements. But do you see the basis on which he could make that? There was a relationship with a God who had made himself known and basically said, I want a relationship with you, but this is how it's going to be. You're just a sheep. You don't know. You can't really provide for yourself. You don't know what your purpose is here. I do. And you need me to guide your steps, to tell you where to go, to give you what you need. And that's what I want. And I'm doing it not because I want to be somebody, some big shot, and it's all about ego. This is because my nature is to love you and to care about you. You could be the smallest and weakest sheep, but I care. And not only that, I'm not going to lose you. You think the Lord's going to forget about one of His? You think we're going to be lost in the shuffle? A God who can track every hair on my head and the ones that have fallen out knows about every one of them. He can handle it. He can keep up with me. I need Him to keep up with me. I need Him every hour. Praise God. Surely. Now he's looking forward to the things that will happen in the rest of his life. And based on everything that he said so far and his conviction about the Lord being his shepherd and lacking nothing. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And it doesn't end there, does it? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Is that the conviction that is resident in your heart and your life today with whatever, wherever you're at in your life? I pray that God will just burn that deep in my heart and yours as well. This is what He wants. And if you haven't come to that, you have every right to reach out to Him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently or earnestly seek him. I'll tell you, God will never turn away an honest seeking heart. You have every right to come to him and lay your cards on the table and say, Lord, I need you. I can't run my own life. I just need you. I need this relationship. He wants it more than you do. Do you understand that? I thank God that he's so merciful, because we're just like the sheep sometimes. We wander in our own way. We get in the briars. We do all kinds of stupid stuff. But anyway, I'm so thankful. There's nothing revolutionary here, but I just felt like the Lord wanted to remind us of something that's pretty important, don't you think? Talk about living in a scary world, an unpredictable one. But I'm not alone. The one who made this world is my shepherd. And he has foreseen everything that I could ever possibly need. And he's made it available. And he made it available through the death of his son. Whew. I can trust somebody like that. Does that define your life? I hope it does. But right now, you have every reason to have a heart of joy and thankfulness and expectation. And in that light, I can put the future in his hands. That's his job to work that out, to make my path, to mark my path out and take me through it, because I know when we get on the train, we'll have the ticket. But he also wants me to be able to leave that past and live in the is. The Lord is my shepherd. There's something that's very present. It's also a very positive statement, though. The is, that's the other thing. It's not just a time thing. This is a positive statement. The Lord is. This is positive. This is real. This is not just some fantasy that I've come up with. The Lord really is right now. He is my shepherd. He is the one to whom I look, and I lack nothing. What do you lack this morning? And maybe we need to look up. Maybe this needs to be a little more real so that we're able to say, Lord, you know what I need right now, and I'm looking to you in confidence, because I know I don't deserve anything. I can't come and say, Lord, I deserve this. We're going to have to come on the ground of what Jesus did, but we can go to that throne and find mercy. Anybody here need mercy? Yeah, but we can find that there, can't we? You go right past all the courts of the world. I don't care what it is. Every human institution, we go right past that to the throne that rules the universe and find mercy and grace to do what? Help us. When? In our time of need. Thank God. You think he's going to run out of strength? You read the last part of Isaiah 40. He's got all the strength that he needs, and he's more than willing to share it. I'm just so thankful to have a shepherd this morning, aren't you? I'm so thankful to be able to leave the past in his hands, leave the future in his hands, and just say, thank you, Lord. You are what I need right now, and I have everything that I need, and I'm trusting in you. To your name be glory.
Praise God. I appreciate this encouragement here this morning. You know, one of the things that was mentioned this morning in the men's meeting is something that I think we all tend to do whenever with anything that the Lord, you know, sets before us, is we have the instinct to react kind of like Moses did. You know, you look within and say, that's not possible. That, you know, there's nothing here to do what you're talking about. I don't have the resources. And I think that's part of what God's doing, is getting our eyes on him and to learn to draw from him and realize, you know, we ate dinner at Ken and Kathy's last night, and Steve was there, and we were talking and sharing about, it's part of what God was teaching them in the wilderness. You know, it was one thing that he was supernaturally feeding them with manna. But even in that, even recognizing that that came from God, even then he didn't want them to try to take and hoard something up, but it was rather just trust, I'm going to provide each day what you need for that day. And then on the Sabbath, I'll provide twice as much because you need, you know, the day before the Sabbath, I'll provide twice as much because you'll need that for the next day. And there was that dependence there, that feeling of being dependent, and yet that not being a source of concern for him. knowing that I can completely trust his faithfulness to provide. And he did that day after day after day for years, to the point, in fact, they didn't appreciate it so much. They got kind of taken it for granted. But that was his provision. And I thought about this, as Phil, you know, he made reference to John 10 about the good shepherd. And I did think about a part of that as he was speaking. I guess I could just start it there in the second verse there. He says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." You know, that's the key, is that we hear the voice of our shepherd. When he says, it's time to go this way, or it's time to go that way, or I'm with you. You know, when he gives us that little encouragement, is to be able to hear that voice, because his sheep can hear his voice. And he calls out his own sheep by name. That's interesting, isn't it? By name. He's got a specific thing for every one of us, but he is right there with each one in all the different paths he's leading people on. He calls them out by name and leads them out. And this is the verse I had actually thought of that maybe turn over to this. It's in verse 4. He says, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." Isn't it wonderful to know that our shepherd is going ahead of us in all these things? And whatever else may come in the future, we don't know what's coming. But I tell you what, we know who holds that future. And we have his promise that whatever it is, he has gone ahead of us to prepare that way. And he is leading us and calling us by name. And the key is that we hear his voice when he speaks. And I believe he's making that real to us. And I just appreciate it. He is a faithful Lord. Praise God.